B-Pod Studios.
Right now, in the 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. We are joined by BLG, Brandon Lee Gouten, the Bleeding Green Nation. Brandon, good morning, man.
Morning, Mark. It's nice to have some real sports to talk about.
Real sports. We got Last Chance going on ESPN. That's fun. And then we also have the draft coming up on Thursday. It has been, despite the no real sports, though, we've had some spicy meatballs, as we've been saying, Brandon, this offseason, with things going on, especially with the NFL. Let's start off with the Yannick Ngakoue sweepstakes. Did his stock take a little bit of a hit yesterday?
I certainly think Yannick Ngakoue is trying to tank his value in a way that makes it easier for teams to come get him. He clearly doesn't want to be there in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I think that much is clear.
What would you be willing to part ways with? We have a little debate on the show. Would you give up that 21st overall pick for Yannick Ngakoue?
I would not. And I don't think the Eagles would even come close to doing that, especially mm-hmm. because you look at how they value their defensive line, and I think it's probably higher than maybe we do. But, you know, in looking in terms of what they realistically value, I think Chip Schwartz loves Derek Barnett. You know, Brandon Graham is obviously here. I just don't think they're looking to add another big money contract player at that position, not just at the position, but in general. I mean, Carson Wentz's contract is really going up here. Their cap situation is tight moving forward. I don't think they're looking to take a premium asset and move it for a player you're going to have to pay. Like, that's something I think people miss. It's not as simple as, like, oh, you trade the 21st pick, you're getting a player as Yannick Ngakoue. Okay, but you're also paying him a lot. And part of the value of a draft pick is getting a guy in a rookie deal and having that kind of bargain for up to 5 years there. So I think that's kind of something that has to be considered.
Brandon, very rarely do I get to bask in an answer given by a man such as yourself who covers this on a daily basis, because I'm right on board with you. It's all the points I brought up earlier. That's why I wouldn't do the deal anyway. Now, what do you think he will actually end up going for? If he knocked down his stock a little bit, what do you think that number would be?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jags are in a spot where they don't have to rush to trade him. I think they can find a time here where they're going to get decent value from him, unless this thing just collapses like it does with the Jadeveon Clowney situation last year. But I think the Jags have been a little bit smarter in their trading than the Texans have. I mean, the Texans have been a disaster. The Jags at least, like, found a way to get good value for Jalen Ramsey when they had to trade him last season. So I would think they would handle this better. I mean, I think you're looking at least like a second round pick at the very least. I mean, I don't know if they get the first when you have the player clearly trying to leverage himself out of Jacksonville. But for a player who's young, as Yannick Ngakoue is, only 25, and has the production that he does, I can't see how you're getting him super on the cheap.
All right. Now, the other part of this is the report that came out yesterday from Adam Schefter saying that the 49ers are willing to part ways with number 13 or number 31 to trade back in the draft. Howie has been aggressive. He's also been passive in the draft, moving up and down multiple times throughout his tenure. What are the odds he moves up, in your mind, to 13 to maybe take one of these hotshot wide receivers?
I think ideally, I mean, he doesn't want to move up because the Eagles entered this draft with 8 picks, yes. But when you look at, like, the value of those picks, I mean, only 2 of them are in the top 100 after the Darius Slay trade. If you look by their total capital in terms of, like, the value of those picks, but based on, like, draft pick value charts, it's only, like, the 20th most valuable draft class. Like, they're not in a great position where they have, like, an abundance of draft capital in this draft to really just move up so easily. I mean, this is a team that's made the fewest draft picks in the NFL over the past 2 years, only 10. They need more young talent on this team, and you don't get that by consolidating picks because, you know, look, no one beats the draft. That's a phrase that Jeffrey Lurie has used. I mean, he has said they need to pick in volume because you're going to miss on guys. That's just the nature of the draft. It's a hard thing to do. So how do you increase your chances of hitting on a pick? You make more picks. So ideally, you don't want to move up because then all of a sudden you're consolidating your picks and you're taking a guy, and if he doesn't work out well, you decrease your odds. So I know the Eagles need a receiver so badly, and it would be so tempting to just go up and get a guy and feel like, okay, we have that answered. But, you know, there's just, it's not the perfect situation to do that.
Brandon, you had a story talking about one of the wide receivers you talked to, a longtime NFL offensive coordinator, receivers coach, who said that this guy was one of the best receivers that he's ever studied in 40-plus years of looking at guys at that position. And then the name is Justin Jefferson. Did it surprise you what he had to say about him? And do you think Jefferson's stock is really rising and he probably won't be there at 21?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not counting on Justin Jefferson being there at 21. I'll put it that way. I just think when you look at his profile, there are so many things working in his favor. And he only turned 21 in January. He had elite production in the SEC for a national champion last year. He's played in the slot last year, but he did also show the ability to play on the outside. Again, the 19-year-old going up against SEC competition in 2018. So this is a guy who I think checks a lot of boxes. I don't think he's necessarily the most ideal fit for the Eagles in that he's not this field stretcher. He's not a burner. But the reality is the Eagles are kind of barren at the wide receiver position, and they kind of just need a good receiver. And for a team like the Eagles that has been so bad at drafting and developing wide receiver talent, like, why not take the guy who you know is probably going to be a good NFL player? Like, this, it's a reasonable bet to make. So many of these other guys, I think the upside might be more tantalizing, but there's a good chance these guys bust, and all of a sudden, what are you left with at receiver? You're in the same boat as you were last year. I think you just need to get a good receiver, and I think Jefferson is exactly that.
If he is taken, do you see the Eagles possibly trading back then, or do you see them going with a guy like Denzel Mims at 21?
Yeah, I think that's a little too early for Denzel Mims. I mean, you're looking at some of these composite or some of these big boards from NFL people like Daniel Jeremiah, Gil Brandt. I mean, he's like barely in their top 50. He's like more in the 40s range. I just think it's a little early for Denzel Mims there. And I think when you look at the history of senior wide receivers taking them the first round over the last 10 years, the list isn't very good. So that's concerning as well. I think if the Eagles are going for a Denzel Mims, it would kind of be more in a trade back than it would be just straight up at 21.
I got put in a position yesterday doing a mock draft with somebody where I thought about that same thing. This is where Howie would probably trade back. Like, I don't think it would be out of the first round, but I think this is definitely a spot where he would move back a little bit and try to get a pick for later. The other part of this is, at some point, they have to have a big impact offensively. Like, we talked, Bob and I were kicking around this earlier. The idea of saying, oh, you know what, Carson Wentz, he can take care of this offense, so we're good, let's keep adding to defense. At some point, they got to do something to help him out, right?
Yeah, there's a threshold there. I mean, like, you have to get, with that said, I mean, is that really the mentality that the Chiefs took to win the Super Bowl last year? They weren't like, oh, let's just have Patrick Mahomes be awesome and then we'll have a bunch of guys surrounding him who aren't really that great. I mean, Tyreek Hill's pretty good to me, and a lot of those, and Mecole Hardman, like, that's a guy who's super fast and a deep threat. Like, they have a lot of talent, a lot of receiver talent, so I don't buy this idea that they said the Eagles should just give Carson Wentz nothing to work with. They have to give him at least some kind of threshold, and I think that threshold should be above where Carson Wentz doesn't have to become the first quarterback in NFL history to go over 4,000 yards without having a single 500-yard receiver. I mean, that's insane. I think we're kind of like talking ourselves into madness. Otherwise, if we're saying the receiver position isn't all that important after watching the season we just did.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's wild.
Brandon, where else do you see them going? I assume, like I've been saying, wide receiver, yeah, you can look at 21, but they have to get a couple of wide receivers because, as you said, it's just so barren there. But where else do you see them going in this draft to shore up? Is it linebacker? Is it safety? Offensive line? What do you see?
Yeah, linebacker and safety are the other two ones where, like, I mean, if you're not accounting for, you know, the value of the position, you can say linebacker is the biggest need on the team. I mean, what do the Eagles have there? It's Nate Gary. Okay. Is he really, like, what's the confidence level in him as a full-time starter? And it's TJ Edwards, undrafted rookie free agent last year. Like, that's really what you're going to war with? I mean, there's not, what if one of those guys gets hurt? All of a sudden, you're putting, like, Duke Riley or Alex Singleton or whoever else knows, maybe me, in there at some point. So, they need help at linebacker for sure. And then safety, I mean, Dalen Mills, they re-signed him to a one-year deal. He's changing positions, so we don't even know if that's going to work out. And if it does, again, one-year deal. They have to think about the future of that spot. And then Rodney McLeod, they signed to a two-year deal, but I think he's coming off not a great season, and they would be wise to kind of have someone in the pipeline to potentially replace him down the road, and they currently don't have that at all. I mean, there's really no safety depth. I mean, maybe Will Parks can be something, but again, another guy who's on a one-year deal. So they need more youth at safety and linebacker.
Brandon Lee Gowton, last thing for you. The most likely thing to happen Thursday with the Philadelphia Eagles and that 21st pick, what's the most likely thing?
I think the most likely move is they draft a wide receiver. Not the most shocking thing. And I think if Jefferson, you know, makes it to 21, I think he will be the pick.
Okay, I'm on board with that. I have him as the fourth best after Ruggs and Judy and CeeDee Lamb. But the more I hear about him, like you said, the more likely he is to be taken by 21. So the last thing I'll say, do you think that Howie would do what he's done in terms of like moving up maybe two picks, three picks, if he gets the sense that Jefferson will go to the Jaguars, for instance, at 20?
Yeah, and then also just to block, you know, another team from potentially trading up ahead of them. You know, you look at the Vikings there at 22 or the Patriots at 23, whoever else could kind of move up from behind the Eagles there. I think that's totally possible. I think that's the kind of ideal trade up, given that the Eagles don't have a lot of draft assets to work with in terms of valuable ones. So I think you give up like a pick to move up a spot or two just to make sure you get your guy. I think that's kind of the more realistic move up we could see on Thursday night.
Brandon Lee Gowton, always a pleasure. You do such a great job with Bleeding Green Nation. We'll be following you, obviously, throughout the draft process. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Brandon. Absolutely. Brandon Lee Gowton. When we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.